morning and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to be continuing the message or the series on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is going to be the 15th message in the Sermon on the Mount. And when we think about this wonderful message that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, I will, as I mentioned a couple of times, I'll be the first. Some of this is very difficult. And when we think about this message, unquestionably those that were hearing this message were under incredible conviction. And Jesus did not come to destroy the law, as many thought that he had. Yes, he was in opposition to the Pharisees. Yes, he was in opposition to the scribes, but he certainly did not come to destroy the law. In fact, he came to fulfill the law. And this is his fourth illustration about the law. He's going to take us back to the Old Testament. He's going to take us back to the law and instruct us on its true meaning, on the true fulfillment of what God's purposes were and what God requires us to do and to be when it comes to fulfilling the law. This morning, we're going to be looking at perjury law, or the vows, or swearing, if you will. Now, you're saying, Pastor, swearing. We're going to look at what we mean by swearing in a minute here. And a lot of people swear in the Bible. We saw that this morning in Sunday school, where Saul was swearing that he wasn't going to ever harm David. And, you know, when we think about vows, or oaths, or swearing, or our word, if you will, you know, what does our word mean? What does our word mean? You know, we're always going to be late. We're always going to, you know, this one, Thomas Fuller, one author said this. He says, a man apt to promise is a man apt to forget. And I thought, yeah, that just about sums it up, because, you know, I forget even what I've forgotten. And, you know, the older we get, the more we forget, and we got to write things down. And sometimes, you know, when we think about our word or promises or whatever they may be, we maybe don't fulfill them, but it's not an intentional lack of fulfillment when we think about oaths or promises. And it was always, you know, you think about the little kid, you know, who was told not to do something, and oh, but Dad, or oh, but Mom, I forgot. You know, I forgot. Really, you forgot? You know, it's amazing how much we can remember, but quite often we forget. And here, when we think about the law of oaths, or the perjury law, as I've called it here, we find that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37, and the Bible says, again, ye have heard it, hath been said of by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, once again being instructed by the Word of God. And Jesus Christ, as he's preaching this message, is talking about our vows, our oaths, our promises. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this message today, that the Spirit of God would do a work in our hearts and in our lives. And again, I think we live in a day when talk is cheap. And God, we just pray and desire that we would be all that we need to be for your honor and glory. We thank you, we praise you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and amen. The first thing I want us to notice here, again, as Jesus has done in all four of his illustrations of the law, he talks about the fact that it had been said before. He brings us back to the Bible. He brings us back to the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." And here Christ goes back to that law. This time he doesn't go back to the Ten Commandments as he has in his first three illustrations, but he certainly goes back to the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 23, the Bible says, "That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth." I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew, just a little bit further ahead, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 36 and 37. The Bible says there in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 12, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We find in the Bible the importance of words, and even tonight as we look at our second part of our series on the Word of God, we're going to see the importance of words. And here Jesus Christ is telling us that by our words we will be either justified or we will be condemned. He says, by our words, every idle word. Now, when the Bible talks about an idle word, that doesn't mean it's not going anywhere, but it's simply that idea of idle there. It means that it's empty. It's vain. It's meaningless. And we're going to be judged according to our words. You know, there is a time to swear. Or should I say, to give an oath or to make a vow. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33, it says there, "Again, ye have heard it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath." There is a time to swear. And again, in our context here, when we're talking about swearing, again, we're talking about an oath. We're not talking about vulgarity, although there really is no time to be vulgar. Amen. Vulgarity. There's enough scripture speaking about vulgarity and using pure words and using proper language. But here we're talking about swearing. We're talking about giving an oath. You know, there's the world today. You know, when we think about how far the world is getting from what it used to be, you know, days ago and years ago and months ago. Things are so different today. You look at old movies, you know, movies back in the 40s or back even when the talk movies first came out. You look at, you know, again, we like watching the original Little Rascals. You know, you never hear potty mouth in anything years ago. Even adult movies, you didn't hear bathroom humor, joking about things that ought not to be even really talked about. It was clean. It was pure. There was no off-colored humor. And it seems today that no matter where you turn, and even kids' stuff today, there's always something that leads to the bathroom. And that bathroom talk certainly, I don't think, lends to our intelligence. And certainly it isn't something that I think is profitable for us. But here we're talking about oaths. We're talking about giving an oath. And you know, many of us promise things. Many of us make oaths, and we do quite often. And the more when I was putting this together, I started thinking to myself, you know, about how many times I would say the average person in an average day, you know, gives their word on something or promises something. makes a vow. And there is a time to make a vow. There is a time. And I want us to notice something as well here. The Bible says in verse 34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." And then he says, "Neither swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." When we give an oath, when we, if you will, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth, so help me God, or even as we saw David and Saul today, you know, as the Lord liveth, he's swearing to the Lord when he says, as the Lord liveth. It's tantamount to say, you know, I swear to God. How many times do we hear that? Now, hopefully we're not always saying that. But how many times is in common language in the world today, people that don't even believe God, people that don't even go to church, people that don't even know God, are constantly over and over and over and over and over saying that phrase? How many times do we say it? How many times do we mean it in our hearts? You see, when somebody was to swear, they always swore to a higher power. And that's why he said there, first Jerusalem, and then he talks about the throne in heaven, and then he talks about, well, first he talks about the throne of heaven, then he talks about Jerusalem, he talks about the great city there of the king, and he talks about our head, not even swearing by our head. We can't even make one hair white or black. Amen, Tim, that depends on whether we've got hair or not, right? We've not a whole lot we can do if we don't have any, but we don't have the power to. So it's not really a higher power. We swear to a higher power. And in doing that, it shows sincerity, if you will. But you know, when we think about positive oaths, there are many positive oaths that we find in the Bible. There's an oath that the Trinity has, the very God of heaven. The three persons of the Trinity have a unconditional binding oath to redeem mankind. They covenanted together, and all three of them have actively worked to fulfill that covenant. And who is God going to swear to? He's going to swear to himself, because there certainly is no greater. We think about covenants or oaths. Salvation is an oath. When we bow our heads and when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are vowing to God. We are making an oath to God, saying, God, I trust Jesus Christ. And I am vowing, or I am making a covenant with you, that I will trust him and I will believe him. It's a positive oath. The Bible says that we are also to give oaths about our trust, that we are to trust the Lord with all our hearts. We are to give God that covenant. We are to swear by his name, according to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 20, and Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. These covenants, these oaths we should be making, and they should be binding. The Bible says, thou shalt engage thyself in his covenant and have no God beside him. There's a positive oath, a promise to God that we will never take other gods and we will be true to him. Christ did not come to destroy the law, but to bind it more closely upon the cords of love. Referring to these gospel times, God says, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. God had made an oath to himself. One day every knee and one day every tongue will bow before God, and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will make that oath. God's promised that. But unfortunately for many, it will be too late. We also swear when we think of judicial swearing, and when we think of that oath of the Lord, we even find in our courts and other places people swearing to tell the truth, as I've mentioned, or the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we affirm, I believe, to tell the truth in the name of our Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 16. The Bible says, for men verily swear by the greater. And again, that's what I've mentioned there, that swearing, we're always swearing by something that is a greater power, a higher authority. And the Bible goes on to say, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In the Christian courts of law, an oath or a confirmation, it does remain the end of all strife. The Bible also talks about a negative oath as well here. And that's my second point. And the Bible says that we're not to swear at all by heaven or God's throne or by Jerusalem or swear by our heads. There's a wrong kind of swearing as well. This type of swearing is forbidden, and it is profane. False swearing is certainly that. It is profane. It is dreadful. It is dreadfully impious towards God. It is taking the Lord's name in vain when we swear to the Lord. We've not lifted up his soul unto vanity when we've sworn deceitfully. In Psalms chapter 24 and verse 4, the Bible says, He that hath clean hands and of a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. You know, there's a lot of deceitful swearing going on out there, if you will. A lot of deceitful oaths. When God is called in on as a witness during an oath, as he is when men make their vows, man-made vows, whether it's in the court of law, or even whether it's in the wedding, we've got to make sure our yeas are yea and nays are nays, and we are performing these unto the Lord. We are saying unto the Lord that we are making these covenants, and when we are doing it for false motives, when we are doing it for the wrong reason, we are certainly and absolutely taking the Lord's name in vain. And as I mentioned, how many times do we hear it? How many times do we hear the world of unsaved men swearing to a God they don't believe in? And in many cases, you know that they're not telling the truth. They're simply trying to use God as a little bit of leverage in trying to get you to believe something that you may not ordinarily believe. And when we do so, it certainly is an injustice to man. Few men will perjure themselves before the courts being dishonest, but in many cases we will have no problem in our everyday life. Promissory vows are especially to be avoided. And we think about marriage, it's an interesting thing. You know, when we think about the traditional vows, you know, everyone has traditional vows, and, you know, people want certain things added or subtracted, to these vows. But you know, when we think about vows, there's a lot more to marriage than just the traditional vows. Some things that we probably should vow. I vow to be patient. Amen. I vow to be whatever it may be. You can fill in the blanks, because there is a lot that will go on and a lot that will take place. It kind of reminds me of a fellow by the name of Brian, and he was not doing very good one day. He was sitting at his desk, and he had his head down on the desk in his arm, and his friend came over and said to him, "Listen, Brian, you're not looking very good. You're looking pretty disappointed today." He said, what's the problem?" He says, "I don't know what to do." He says, "I got in a big fight last night with my wife, and she claims that I never buy her any gifts. She says that I don't care about her." I said, "Well, that's horrible," said his friend, putting his arm around him. And he says, "What type of gifts does she want?" He says, "Well, right before she closed the door and slammed it in my face, she said to me, 'Why don't you show me how much you care about me? Why don't you get me something that goes from 0 to 175 in 10 seconds flat? What should I do? I don't know what to do. I haven't got that kind of money. I can't buy a car for her." His friend said, "A car? You don't need to buy her a car. Just go buy her a bathroom scale." See, you got to be careful. You got to make your vows, to keep them. Police officer, he jumps into his squad car. There was a call from the station. And I'm sure, Tim, you've probably been in some hairy situations before. I know you have. You've told me a few, some of the work that Tim does as the police officer. But this police officer jumps in his car. He's responding to a call. And he gets there, and he gets on his radio, and he calls back to the headquarters, and he says, "I've got an interesting situation here." He said, "A woman shot her husband 4 times. They said, "Well, what did he do?" "Well, he stepped on the floor just after she had mopped it." "Well, why did he do that?" She said, "Because it wasn't dry." And the headquarters called back, and they said, "Have you arrested her yet?" And he said, "No, I haven't." And they said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, the floor's still not dry. I'm not stepping on that floor. I'm not going anywhere near." And you know, when we think about, you're going, "Pastor, that's really bad." I'll get some better ones next week. Vows and giving our oaths. You know, sometimes when we do make vows or give our oaths, sometimes certain things enter into the situation that we never expected, and you think, "How am I going to keep this promise? How am I going to keep this?" But you know, when we think about what God requires of us, Jesus Christ makes it very simple. He makes it very simple. And that's my third point, is the simplicity of it all. He makes it very simple in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, he says this: "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh evil." In other words, Jesus Christ is simply saying truth is perfect in simplicity. You know, Christ simply says, a simple affirmation, a simple negative, a simple positive, either yes or no. These are all are required. And, you know, when we think about emphasis as well, you know, nothing wrong with adding a little emphasis. Our Lord added a little emphasis over and over again. Jesus Christ would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," adding emphasis to his vows, if you will. But we need to certainly keep it simple. We must not be evasive or be deceptive. One theologian said, "He whose words agree not with his private thoughts is as detestable to me as the gates of hell are." We simply need to speak the truth and be simple about it. There was a story told by Douglas E. Moore. Douglas E. Moore was talking about Booker T. Washington And Booker T. Washington was describing a meeting that he had with an ex-slave from Virginia in a book that he had written called Up from Slavery. And he said this, "I found that this man had made a covenant with his master 2 or 3 years prior to the Emancipation Proclamation, to the effect that the slave was to be permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. Finding that he could secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. And when freedom finally came, he was still in debt to his master some $300. Notwithstanding that the Emancipation Proclamation had freed him from any obligations to his master, this particular man walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia. There, he placed the last dollar with interest in his hands. In talking to me about this, the man told me that he knew that he did not have to pay that debt, but that he had given the word to his master. He had made the promise. And his word would not be broken. He felt that he could not enjoy his freedom until he had fully paid his promise. You know, the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, as Christians, as I mentioned, we see the world constantly swearing, you know, that what they're saying is the truth, and they bring God's name into it. But when we walk in Christian integrity, and when we walk in Christian ways, when we are like Christ, you know, we shouldn't need to swear. You know, I swear it's true. Our character should speak for itself, if you will, that what we are saying is the truth. You know, we live in a day, you know, we joke around, you know, sometimes, and we know somebody's joking, you know, whatever it may be, but we live in a day. We were down in the States a few years ago, and we were looking in the phone book, and I was looking in the phone book, and of the yellow pages, they were about that thick in this particular town we were in. And the section for lawyers was probably a quarter of that Yellow Pages directory. They say, and I don't know, these are old statistics. I remember hearing that the United States had 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's lawyers. You know, today, you need a lawyer for everything. Everything's got to be signed in triplicate. Whatever happened to the days of the handshake? Amen? Where when we said something, you know, we're going to forget. Or maybe sometimes things get put on the back burner. They don't get done when we think they're going to be done. But when we talk about willfully and deliberately giving an oath to do something or to be something, and then we don't carry it out because of willful intentions, we're not only violating our own conscience, but we're also violating our vow of God and our vow with God. So let's make sure as Christians that, you know, we will all, if I were to say everyone who's broken a vow or a promise needs to come to the altar, we'd all be here. Amen. How many times have we said we'd do something, we either forget or it doesn't get done, or we'd say, you know what, I really shouldn't have promised to do that. And sometimes we promise to do things that we know that we can't fulfill. I think I was talking about this a little while ago. You know, I promised him, I'll give Marcel, I promise you, I'm going to give you $1 million next week. He's going, you know, pastor, yeah, it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. Well, maybe it will. You never know. But, we promise things that we maybe wish we didn't promise after we've said them. We got to be careful. The Bible says that we're going to be accountable for every word, every idle word that we speak. Jesus brings it home. He said, listen, just don't worry about the theatrics. Don't worry about having to make all these vows and promises and God's stamp of approval on it. So just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Yes or no. Make it simple. That's how I think God wants us to be. And again, our character should shine through. Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the instructions in your word about our vows, to be perjurers in life. And God, I know we were sinners and all of us have said things that we haven't done. Many of us have done things we've never said. And Lord, we need your grace and we need your help and we need your strength. In a day when man's word isn't what it used to be. Lord, help each one of us to be people of integrity in keeping our vows and our promises. Lord, help each one of us for your glory and honor. And I do pray if there's somebody here today that has never made a vow, made that vow of salvation to the God of heaven, a covenant that Jesus Christ is Lord. Put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that one person might do that today. I pray for the kids downstairs. I pray for their salvation, Lord, that you would work in their hearts to bring them to the place of repentance. God, whatever people's needs are today, would you work for your glory and for your honor. We'll thank you and we'll praise you and ask your continued blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a song of invitation, and if